Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we've got a fabulous weekend ahead of us. It's the 4th of July weekend, and I know so many of you. So many of you are just going to be having a phenomenal time with barbecues and all kinds of things. But we've got a surprise guest today. His name is Ricky Roberts. We're going to be talking about his publication. I love the title of it because it is, Where Did the Gift Go? What's the gift? Well, we're going to be talking about that. Ricky, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it really is a delight. Now, Ricky has authored other books. This little book, when I got it in the mail, I just thought, okay, let's just go through it. And I loved it. It absolutely is marvelous. It would be a great gift for anyone. But Ricky, you have walked a rather interesting path in life, and you had an experience at the age of 17 that I wouldn't wish on anyone, and it changed your life phenomenally. Would you share that story with my audience?
Sure. Thank you. At the age of 17, I was a person just filled with a bitterness and anger and kind of resentment towards life in general because of circumstances that I was a part of as a young person in my childhood. So I carried a lot of pain with me, and that pain that I carried was that impacted how I interacted with the world around me. And at the age of 17, I was out with a group of friends and got into a street fight, which resulted in me being stabbed 9 times and spending a week and a half in the hospital. And, you know, basically, to make the story short, when I was laying in the hospital bed, you know, there were tubes in my nose, you know, down my throat and in my arms, and there was doctors and nurses just, you know, hovering over me. And I was looking up at them, and they were looking down at me, and the only thing I could see is their eyes, because they had the face guard on and the head cover. And there was a chaplain that came into the room, and he walked over and he put his hand on my head and he said, "Everything's going to be okay, son." And in that moment, I felt a peace I never felt before, and I realized, you know, that it wasn't that I didn't care to live before that. It was just that I didn't know how. So that just kind of, you know, it touched my life for good. And from that day on, I've been seeking my higher purpose and just asking, you know, what am I doing here? Because I know there was a choice, you know, to keep me here. And feeling that choice being made, I've just done my best to surrender to that since then. And, you know, it's been a transformation process from that day on. It didn't just magically change. You know, I didn't just change my perception in one day and, you know, and just in one night. So it took time, and that was just kind of where the journey started for me, and I've been pursuing that ever since.
You have a sentence in your book that I highlighted with my yellow marker. I'm notorious for doing this inside a book. And it's, life is the gift that gives our soul a place to be. Now, that one sentence has so much in it. When you express that, what would you want to add to that?
You know, I'm thinking about when you're saying that you know, that the experience I had, you wouldn't wish on anyone. And I honestly, from the process that I had to go through to be in that place, and also to get past all of the psychological and emotional things that came with that traumatic experience, I still to this day can just look at it as being one of the most wonderful things that happened to me in my life, and because I was able to really truly see the gift and life that I've been giving, and really see what it is, what a gift it is just to be here in every moment as we are, in whatever way we're experiencing it. So I feel like this gift, this life, this part of this human experience that we're all here having right now is an opportunity for our souls, our higher purpose, to manifest itself, to express itself in the way we choose to live our life.
You mention in your book, first there's the question, where did the gift go? And that is the title of your book. You talk about your observation of the disconnection that people have. Explain that. How do you see that disconnection?
You know, it's just in our daily interactions as people, you know, just passing strangers, or, you know, waiting in line behind someone at a store, or even just with our own family members. This distance that I see is this these categories that we allow ourselves to be placed into, it that create separation between us as people. You know, it's just kind of like, this person's over here, I'm over here, and we're not sharing anything. There's no interaction between us. It's just this this place of distance when we're just interacting with people on a daily basis, you know, is what I feel and what I notice. And I feel like in the midst of that, you know, with all of our social titles and, you know, material possessions and these different things, you know, these are things that feed that separation, and we allow these things to signify or to represent who we are as people, and this just creates more of a distance from one another instead of being able to just truly honor, you know, as a whole, as humanity as a whole, because I do know it happens and appreciate that it happens, but honor, you know, each other as just as people, you know, as equals, as other individuals, you know, here to experience this life.
I happen to do a show earlier today in another state, and during the comments that were being exchanged by myself with another individual, I'd made the comment to them that slowly but surely they were peeling away a lot of the feelings, the belief systems, the perceptions that they had thought were theirs, and were finding that they really were not, that they had been given these perceptions by people that they had grown up with. And I was intrigued in your book, in their chapter where you say, find your way, is the very question, how much of what you do is affected by the programming and impressions that society imposes on you? And when I looked at that question, and of course, knowing that you were coming on the air today, I wanted to ask you, this tremendous experience you went through at 17, did it cause you to ask that question, where you got your belief systems, what it was that was creating so much pain inside of you, what was really your feelings? Did you ask yourself those questions, or are these questions that you've been able to come up with as the years have gone by?
You know, the question, primary question that I just asked myself after the stabbing is, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I still here? What am I supposed to do with this life? You know, and how have I been allowing the negative experiences or just the adverse circumstances that I've been, you know, a part of dictate how I live my life? But the question of where my belief systems come from, and, you know, and why I've chosen to do certain things in my life, and where all of that's coming from, came later on in my life, because, you know, at the stabbing is where I really just started to pursue my connection to God, my connection to my higher power, because I didn't have any, you know, real understanding of that as a person. And in fact, I kind of doubted any higher divine order and anything because of, you know, the things that the way that I viewed my experiences as a child. So that was where I started, you know, just like, how do I understand this? What do I make sense of this? What is my connection? So, of course, I started to, you know, I guess, trying to educate myself on different paths and go to different churches and do all these different things. And then in that, trying to find my power and the value in who I am, I started to try to pursue, you know, worldly success, knowing that starting when I started to find my worth and believe that I was worthy, you know, and get in touch with that part of myself, it was, you know, I felt motivated to pursue, you know, different, for, you know, different accomplishments in my life. So all of this stuff that when I started to get in connection with, yes, I do, I am worthy of with my dreams, I'm worthy of being here, I've been given this life, what can I do with it? As I got older and as I started to look back, I started to evaluate, you know, where those choices were coming from. And particularly when I wrote that book, you know, I just left the business that I was at for over 9 years. And I, because I felt like it wasn't right for me anymore. I felt like it wasn't my truth and it wasn't part of my path anymore. So I left that. And, a lot of the reasons why I was pursuing that career in the business world to make money and to pursue financial success wasn't really my passion, wasn't my truth, and it wasn't who I was as a person, you know. So, that was just kind of part of me reflecting and looking back on that and realizing, you know, it was a lot had to do with growing up in poverty and not having things. So I like thought that this is what would make me happy. It was what would make me successful. And I started to just kind of look back over different experiences I had and different, programmings I've had from people around me, who were defining what success was and what your, religion needed to look like and all of these different parts of me, that I needed to be like in order to fulfill all these different ideas of what life is. So, it started, of course, all for me at the stabbing, but it's been something that has, manifested itself through my life experiences and just my process as a individual.
You have a very touching story in here about an event that you attended where there were these wonderful performers and they were doing a fire dance, and they had chains with balls that were attached on the end of them, which they had lit up, and they were burning. And there was a little girl and her mother, and this touched me. I could really relate to this. And the little girl just got so excited, like children do, saying, "Oh, I want to do that when I grow up." And the mother's response instantly was, and you quote here, "No way, you're not going to be a stupid street performing fire dancer when you grow up." And you observed the child's face. And you said, that really is, that was a very powerful observation. Tell us how you responded to that.
You know, still this day when you're telling this story, I can just feel it, you know, because you just see this girl just gleaming with excitement and glowing, just like she just found something that really moved her, you know, that ignited her spirit. And in a matter of seconds, that gleam and that glow turned to numbness, just turned to, you know, a blank stare with no emotion there, because in that time, she was basically told by her mother to not be excited about something that felt so wonderful to her. You know, that it basically was bursting her bubble, you know, and I could see that bubble just pop before my eyes. And, you know, I thought to myself, wow, like that's just one time, but imagine throughout her life how much that could happen. And those happening, you know, over and over again, slowly get, you know, a person to not listen to that joy that has ignited them from the things that really touch their spirit, but listening or looking for an answer in what other people are saying. And, you know, I could just see that happen. And I also appreciate it's not that she won't change her time, you know, her mind hundreds of times before her, she's old enough to be in a career because she was so young, but it's just to be able to facilitate that opportunity for her to just feel that excitement and feel that joy for something that was magical. And it, to be honest with you, it was just, it was amazing, you know, what they were doing and the performance that they gave to the audience. You know, they had clearly put many years of practice into this. So, it was exciting for me to see. And, it was disheartening to see, this child, not be able to truly live out that excitement and experience that joy in that moment and the moments that could have passed.
Isn't it amazing how people will put a kibosh on something because their worlds are so narrow? It really takes strength to be able, and when you're little, you are wanting to be sure that mom and dad are pleased. But so often people have opinions. I've seen this, whether it's been expressed in a bigotry of one type or another, and you listen, and it's like the mind of that individual will snap shut and say there are no options. And unless someone is wise enough to realize, well, that's your opinion, but it's not mine, and usually that takes some maturity, you buy into what they say without saying, gee whiz, that's interesting information. What do I want to do with it? Do I want to throw it out? Do I want to digest it? Do I want to be like a cow and put it into different stomachs in different departments of my head and chew on it and see if I really want it? Or do I want to, you know, just poop it out and just say, this isn't working with my system. Out it goes. And I really liked your statement where you said, be okay with not fitting in with the rest of the herd. Live to be who you are and what you're created to be. Now, that is something that is terrifying to so many people, because I don't care what culture they come from. They'll say, I can't do that. How could I do that? And I remember thinking that way at one time in my life, because I had been so encased in a box-like environment that I thought, that's just the way it is. I mean, you don't go down block XYZ if you've been told ABC is the only one that you use. I mean, that's just the way it is. So it really takes guts as adults to be willing to say, thanks, I may decide to bungee jump off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
But I may be wise enough to make sure I've got an experienced team that's going to help me out with this.
Right.
You know, but it is important. And I think that in your book, that's one of the messages that comes through so clearly, is to understand that this is your life.
Yes.
And as a child, you may be subjected to things and attitudes and fears and ignorance and superstition. But as an adult, you have the opportunity to wake up from the sleep you've been in and participate. And I like something else you said in your book. Don't put so much emphasis on what you may want to accomplish in the future that you miss out on the beauty that rests right now with where you are.
Yeah.
How did you find it for yourself to become more appreciative of the moment, Ricky? What was it that you did, and what do you do to make sure that you stay in the moment? Now, I'm not saying you don't make plans, but to be really right where you are in the moment of now.
You know, it's it really comes back to constantly just checking back in with myself, you know, because in nothing that I do I claim to be any different than the people I'm passionate about sharing with. You know, I'm just doing my best and in all that I can, you know, in my efforts to just live my truth. So I have to always check back in with myself, you know, and engage where I'm at and how easily I can be distracted and taken off course of where I need to be in the moment. So, you know, it's of course it goes back to, once again, the stabbing experience for me when I felt that choice to keep me here, and I felt the gift of where I was right there in the hospital in that moment, and feeling like almost like life was just breathing its air on me, you know, because it was just like I was on this line where the doctors and nurses thought I was dying, but once the chaplain touched me, I felt that peace and I knew I was going to be okay. So it was like just that breath. So I've tried to bring that with me always in my life, you know, and And any time I slip into complaining about, you know, what might not be happening that I want to happen, or feeling, you know, overwhelmed with anything, frustration or pain or anything, I just try to bring myself back to, you know, what do I have to compare that to? I'm here right now, like this right now, all around me. This is the gift, you know, this is where I am. And then working on being able to appreciate that moment, but also, like you said, being able to have intentions and set goals and make plans, you know. So it at the beginning of really trying to be in the moment, it was, you know, it would be hard for me to make plans or set anything up, like, well, I don't know where I'll be in that moment when that happens, you know. So it's been a balancing effort for me, you know, to continue to find my place in giving to what I need to give to continue to progress and move forward, but also appreciating the process and the moment along the way.
I like your words, live your dance, know your song, shine your light. I think that when people are able to be at ease with themselves, there is a magic that occurs. And I don't care whether it's a grocery clerk, it is the president of a company, it is a mom, it doesn't make any difference who the individual is. When they are comfortable in their own skin, and when they are able to recognize that moment right as it's occurring, however it may occur, and they just are themselves, it really is a phenomenal experience to be around people like that. You don't forget it. And there are those magical moments when you see people in their own aha living it. And yeah. Is there any special person that you've ever met that was really a good example for you?
It's, you know, thank you for asking that question, because as you're telling me this, I'm thinking of a man that lives, you know, on the streets. He does, it's a man who does not have a home, and he's someone that I stop and talk with periodically, and he's someone who has shared great wisdom and advice with me, just as a person that I've been blessed to cross paths with. And he was talking to me one day, and he's just like, you know, we were talking about just being where you are, and appreciating that, and he was talking about how where he's at as a homeless man right now, because of his lack of work, you know, because he's in the construction business, and there were things that happened that sort of phased him out of his work, and he still tries to get work every day, but he's not in a situation where he can provide a home for himself. So he's talking about his circumstance. He's like, where I'm at right now, he's like, this is just something that I'm a part of right now. This is just, you know, this idea, this category that anyone driving by wants to put me in, homeless or whatever it is that they call me. This is just something that I'm participating in right now. And he was just at so much ease with it, and so much peace. And he's just there. He's just like, okay, you know, I'm homeless and this is what it is. And he is continuing to make the best out of it and give to himself in that place that he's in, that so many of us would look at and look down on, or fear with everything that we have, or judge with a bigger part of who we are. But he is at complete and total peace with it. So he's a person that really sticks out in my mind when you talk about that.
When you're speaking of this gentleman and the words you're using, he is participating in this experience. What I'm getting from the story that you're telling is that he's saying, I'm here at this moment, but this isn't where I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
This is just part of a script that I'm moving through, and I'm going to make sure that there's a change. But I'm not stuck here, and that is very different than most people who will, if they go through difficult times, will say, I'm never going to see the end of this, and they get frozen. And I really like that word. I am participating in this experience. I really think that is very, very powerful. You say in this book, Where Did the Gift Go? Seek the deepest desires of your heart, and in that you will find your own path. And that brings to mind an executive that I was made aware of. This man was making so much money, and he had plenty of it, six figures in the higher numbers, and he was miserable. And then a friend of his, who he'd known for years, invited him to go camping. So he goes out camping. This isn't his experience, and he's carrying a canoe over an area of mountain, and he's just right there in the moment. And he didn't have to worry about phones. He left his cell phone home. He just was out there in the woods with his buddy. They did their canoeing, and he had his aha moment. And he ended up leaving his CEO positioning, very, very much aware of what he was doing. And he said he decided he wanted to be in the out-of-doors, that he had felt such a peace and such a sense of satisfaction. And he opened up a guide business in a state that enabled him to do what he loved to do. And he made an income during certain months of the year. And then the rest of the time he was writing or doing other things. But he said, I finally found what really made me feel whole. And he had lost touch with that part of himself. And he said, it wasn't so much the money. He said it was really coming to identify what at the core of himself was most meaningful. Now, for someone else, it could be just the reverse. So we really cannot say what it is for any person because that person has to find it themselves.
Right.
And you talk about change and not being afraid of change. And you give a quote in here saying, whatever you can vividly imagine, heartily desire, and actively act upon must inevitably come to pass. And I agree with you, Ricky. Ricky Roberts has been my guest. Ricky, do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, I do. It's Ricky Roberts with Ricky with a Y, Roberts, III, which is RickyRobertsIII.com. And any of my, you know, it's Ricky with the Y, Roberts, Roberts III.com. And all of my contact information and the, you know, my book information, all that stuff's on there. You know, anything that someone may need to gain or get from the site's on there.
I agree. Ricky Roberts III, and that's, you know, the III.com. Where Did the Gift Go? A book that is thoughtful. It's not a big book, but it's a book that has a lot of what I call mental and emotional and spiritual meat in it. Expressed in his own way, a man who survived being stabbed 9 times, that experience would change anybody's life. Could make you very, very bitter, very angry. But for Ricky, it was different. It made him aware of life in a different way. And this is part of his gift to you. So go to his website, RickyRobertsIII.com, and then check out his book and his other information, Where Did the Gift Go? Ricky, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you do. I appreciate everything that you bring to so many. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today. Thank you.
It has been wonderful, Ricky, and you have a fabulous 4th of July weekend.
You too. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. When we come back, well, we've got a few other good things to share with you, so don't go away. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Telephone lines are open. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, I've got a special announcement that's going to be going on all the way through August. What is it? It's about the Washington Renaissance Midsummer Fair. Now, this is an annual event. It's going into its 13th year. I've been involved with them for over 10 years. This is exciting, but I have free tickets to give away. So for those of you in the state of Washington, if you would like to attend this wonderful event, which is the first 3 weekends in August, weekends only, I have a family pass for you. And you'll need to call into the show and say, Donna, I want a ticket. And you can also email me, or you can send it to Donna at Delphi International and put in the subject line, I want a free ticket to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This is an event that is absolutely amazing. It's going to be held at the Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. And if you want more information on this, now I know it's in August, but before you know it, you're going to blink and it's going to be here. It's just such a joy to be engaged with the people that participate in this event because we have costumes, there's music, fabulous food. The artisans are amazing. And you have this magical environment that transports you to another time. And the costumes that people come up with are amazing. It's absolutely incredible. Now, if you'd like more information about this, go to WashingtonFair.com. And that's F-A-I-R-E. Be sure to put the E on the end of the fair.com. And you will find out all about it. So, again, this is being held the first 3 weekends. I have 12 free tickets to give away, and these are family passes to adults and to children under the age of 18. So if you'd like to get your free ticket, call the show, let me know, and I'll get the contact information from you. You can call my office at 800-872-8852. You can also send me an email, say, Donna, I listened to your show, and I'd like to get a free ticket. I only have 12 available. So the email is donna@delphiinternational.com, donna@delphiinternational.com. And I will make sure that you get that ticket for this wonderful event occurring in the month of August, 3 weekends. At the Maris Farm, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Okay, let me let you know what's coming up next week. We're going to be talking about permanent adolescence, why boys don't grow up. Now, this was written by a man, so it is really insightful. And then on Tuesday, and this didn't get into my newsletter in time, but we're going to have Sharon Saxon talking about cause and effect. Now, that's P-A-W-S. This is all about our four-legged friends, dogs. It is absolutely an awesome, awesome book. She was able to get to me, so she's going to be on the air with us on Tuesday. And like I said, it's not in the newsletter, which, by the way, you can go up to my website if you'd like to see it, and it's there free of charge for you to be able to review and download if you want and share it with a friend. Also, next Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Goldman. And Jonathan is a specialist with tones and with healing. He's so talented. This has been his lifelong passion, dealing with music and various sounds. He's got a brand new CD out called Ecstatic Sounds 2013. So we're going to be talking about that. And he is just so knowledgeable about so many things, and we'll be discussing his wisdom and experience on Wednesday. Betrayal, Murder, and Greed. Pam Fury and Mike Bickle, as his nickname is Darkseid, they're both going to be my guests next Thursday. Now, this is a fascinating publication because it deals with a part of life's experience. Not very many of us have an opportunity, and some of you would say too many of us have this opportunity, to be involved with, and that is the world of the bounty hunter and the bail bondsman. I had no idea how significant they were in keeping criminals off the streets. So this is really going to be a fascinating interview. Art and Courage, John Paul Thornton. We're going to be talking about how art makes a difference in the lives of people, and John Paul has some fabulous stories to tell. So we've got a very eclectic grouping of guests next week, and if you want to see who the guests are for the entire month, you can go to BBS and check out the Donna Sebo Show under station number one, and by golly, you're going to find out about all the guests that are appearing, because all of that information is put right there for your convenience. But meanwhile, if you want to give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. I wanted to share a quote with you. It's by a Scottish-born comedian, Craig Ferguson. He became a United States citizen a couple of years ago. He said, "America for me is a philosophical and emotional decision. It's not a donkey. It's not an elephant. It's a flag and an idea. It's a dream." And that is something that people around the world feel. And here we are at the 4th of July weekend. There is just so much going on. And we're going to just have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. But we do need to be aware of the reality that the freedoms we have enjoyed are very delicate. And at different times in our own history, a lot of freedoms were denied to many different people that lived on the continent. Things had to change. We're in the midst of major change right now. The key is that we have the right to choose the change. And that is what's most important. As Americans, we have a privileged opportunity. And we do have the right to choose. When we visited, my husband and I, when we visited Russia in 1992, I will never forget one very prominent Russian person. He was in the legal level, and he was in the upper echelons. And I was doing interviews and had them sent back over here to the States to play on the show that I wasn't able to do, but all of this live interviewing was copied on tape and broadcast over the station's airwaves back here in the States. And one of the interviews that I did with this attorney, he said, "You Americans have this feeling in your spirit that you have the right, the inalienable right, to be free." And he said, "We Russians don't feel that way." And I remember having quite a long discussion with this man. And he talked about his family. His grandparents had escaped Stalin's purges. But they were so terrified of the KGB that even though they had managed to get to the United States, they lived on the East Coast, There wasn't a day that went by that his grandmother didn't look over her shoulder, terrified that she might be sent back into the environment that she considered a living hell at some time. Now, he said they both passed away in the United States, and they loved this country. They yearned for their country, Mother Russia, but what they had lived through and had managed to escape never left them. And he said, it seems like throughout our history, there is this feeling that we can never be free. But he said, with you Americans, it's much different. And when I thought about his words, and I'm looking and reflecting on this holiday that's coming up this weekend, when you think about the founders, the people that decided that they were willing to sacrifice everything so that future generations would have the opportunity to know the right to pursue happiness and liberty in their own manner. And many of them suffered tremendously from being willing to go that extra yard of commitment. It's quite powerful. And I think in today's world, too often, we do not share that with younger people. What we have today in the way of freedoms can so easily be taken from us. And I mentioned that in our news, in my newsletter this month. It's so easy to take things for granted and just assume they'll always be there. But we must be consciously present with the fact about our personal responsibility, ensuring that those freedoms do stay in place. And not to just listen to rhetoric that other people dish out, but to really think about what somebody is saying and then watch their actions. If their actions do not come up to par, then you have to ask yourself, are their words really true? And there is a difference between being somewhat awake and being consciously attentive and alert to what is really going on. And the art of listening is just as important when it comes to choosing those leaders that we wish to have positions of responsibility. You can never assume anything. You have to really know. And sometimes it's hard to find that out. But the 4th of July celebration is more than just a holiday. It should be remembered for the reason that nothing in this world ever comes without a price. There's always a level of responsibility with the choices that we make. And if you're not willing to take on that responsibility and recognize it, then someone else is going to be delegating to you what you are to do. And you will find that your life is not your own. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, I have some wonderful recipes for you. And this is perfect for the holiday weekend. Do you like coleslaw? What about some brown sugar barbecue chicken? Doesn't that sound good? Well, I've got a couple of recipes here I'd be delighted to share with you. Get out that pad of paper and that pen, and you'll be able to write it down. It is so easy. And this is perfect. I mean, I even think here in the Pacific Northwest, we're going to have some sun shining this weekend. Wahoo! We've had rain and cool temperatures. It's just been amazing. And other places in the country are just cooking. So wherever you are, I hope the sun is shining, because I think we're going to get a little bit of your golden rays over here in the Northwest eventually. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, here are some dishes that you may find just absolutely perfectly easy to make and just tasty as it can be. Let's start off with a coleslaw first. This is really good. And in our household, in the Sebo household, coleslaw is really something that we enjoy. And we have all kinds of different coleslaws that we will make up depending on what we've got in the refrigerator. But here's one that I think that you're going to find really tasty. What you're going to need, and this is a fruit and nut coleslaw, kids might enjoy it too, a quarter of a cup of oil, a quarter of a cup of apple cider vinegar, You're going to need 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 1.5 teaspoons of celery salt, 1.5 teaspoons of celery salt, a quarter of a teaspoon of pepper, and then you're going to need about 16 ounces of fresh cabbage, fresh coleslaw, and you can buy it already cut for yourself, 16-ounce package if you want from the produce department. Of course, that's, you know, a pound. Then you're going to need 1 apple, your favorite apple, and a gala is a nice one to put in a salad, and you want to core it, slice it, and make it into chunks, obviously. You're going to have a cup of that, and then a cup of red seedless grapes. And then if you want, this is optional, 1/2 cup of chopped red onion, and then 1/4 cup of chopped walnuts. Really simple. Your oil, your vinegar, your mayonnaise, your celery salt, your pepper, you just whisk that together. That'll take you 30 seconds. Your cut up coleslaw, your apples, your grapes, your onion, your walnuts. Put it all together and refrigerate it for at least an hour before you serve it. That way all of the flavors will really mature and they will be so delicious. Okay, so you got the coleslaw. Now how about some brown sugar barbecue chicken? I love chicken. And this is so easy to make. You're going to need about 4 to 5 pounds of chicken pieces, and you're going to need 1/2 cup of ketchup, 3 tablespoons of packed dark brown sugar, 3 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of spicy brown mustard, 2 tablespoons of spicy brown mustard, 2 teaspoons of dried marjoram, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder. All right? Now, of course, you can do this in the grill. But if you don't want to do it in the grill, then what you're going to need to do is preheat an oven to 400 degrees. Now, let's get things started. Your seasonings, your mayaram, your salt, your pepper, your garlic powder, you want to sprinkle that over your 4 to 5 pounds of chicken, and you place your chicken skin side down on the grill over direct heat. You're going to cover and you're going to grill it until it's brown. It takes about 5 minutes. Turn it over and transfer to indirect heat. Now, the sauce mixture, you reserve 1 part, okay, because you've combined your ketchup, your brown sugar, your vinegar, and your mustard. You just whisk that together. You want to divide your sauce in half, and part of it you want to reserve. And then with your chicken, when it's on the indirect heat, you want to brush your chicken with that remaining sauce, and you cook it for as long as it takes, 25 to 35 minutes, so that your chicken is no longer pink on the inside. And your reserved sauce, you want to put on the chicken during the last 10 minutes of grilling time. Now, if you don't have a grill and you want to do this in the oven, you want to put your chicken on a rack in a shallow roasting pan. You want to roast your chicken for 20 minutes in a 400-degree oven. And you brush it with your one batch of sauce, roast it for 20 minutes, and then the last batch of sauce you brush during the last 10 minutes of cooking time. And you're going to get this wonderful, because of the brown sugar, you're going to get this wonderful crusty texture on the outside of the chicken. It's just finger-licking good, absolutely delicious, and everyone will enjoy it. And you know, if you're going to be going to a potluck on the 4th of July, either one of these dishes are perfect to take, because this brown sugar barbecue chicken and also your fruit and nut coleslaw will transport beautifully. And if you put your chicken in, once you fixed it, you put it in foil, and then you wanted to reheat it. If it's an outdoor grill, you can reheat it over that. But it's going to, again, transport beautifully. So just a couple of suggestions there. Well, speaking of traveling, and again, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Let's talk about kids for a while. In fact, let's talk babies. The infants today, we usually have car seats for them, and I have so much empathy for these mothers and fathers that are carrying around car seats because they're huge. And traveling with them, especially in an automobile, there are things that you need to pay attention to. And there's so many good points that Matt Villano sent along for traveling. He said newborns are required to face backward in the back seat, and they will sort of feel like they're cut off from everything, especially when you're traveling in a vehicle and maybe going quite a long distance. So Matt said what he and his wife do, they take turns sitting in the back seat to keep the baby entertained and take care of, you know, if they need to have a bottle or whatever, you do that. And you may feel, if you're the driver, you're sort of being ostracized yourself, but they said it's a lot better than listening to a screaming baby that just feels very cut off from everything. Also, we need to be aware, if you're transporting a baby in a seat, that the sun can be very harmful to them coming through the window. And they found, as a family, that if they purchase pull-down window shades, it helped to prevent the babies getting, one, sunburned, but also, two, from being made very, very uncomfortable with the glare that would come because of the brightness of the sun through the window. So also, they said some of their friends use T-shirts in windows, but when you have that window shade, they're designed in such a way to keep the glare out of the sun, but you also can still look out the window if you are in the back seat and it doesn't make it uncomfortable for, let's say, the driver, because sometimes you need to be able to see out of certain windows. Also, be sure when you're traveling with children that you take time for a break. This is a major weekend, and if you have little ones, they get very, very antsy. So make sure you take a break about every hour and a half. And that'll be fine, like for potty breaks, whatever you need. And also it'll give you a chance to stretch your legs. And if you've got a pet, you can get to take care of the kids and the pet all at the same time. So it's a good thing to do, and it's for safety purposes as well. Also, they say don't just stop at truck stops. And I thought this was a very good suggestion. They said children and babies love looking at new things. So stop off in towns and different communities and let them look around. And one of the things his family learned, which I thought was amazing, especially if you're in real warm climates, they stop off where they can stop in the hotel lobbies. They say there's air conditioning in there, and it's privacy. And moms have a chance to maybe work with the children, take them in to a public restroom that might be in the hotel lobby, and it just allows the whole family to be refreshed. Maybe there's a restaurant inside the hotel, and they said it is a wonderful tip that they pass along to others. So I want to thank Matt Villano for his suggestions. They're very good ones. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent 4th of July weekend. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You belong to you, and your life is the challenge that you're here to live, to experience, and to grow into. Enjoy the journey. And have a very, very safe holiday. Be back with you on Monday, and we'll be talking about permanent adolescence. Yes, why boys don't grow up. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.